Hello, everyone. You are listening to Yoga Talk, the Yoga International Podcast. I am Kyle from AV, and I'm here with Kat, our editor-in-chief, and Molly Burkholm for part two of our podcast on women's empowerment, which is men and women's empowerment. So my question was, or rather the lead up to the question was, I noticed myself having a reaction, Molly, when you were talking about locker room talk. And my reaction was, I know exactly what she's talking about. And I felt like laughing. It's this weird cognitive dissonance you get when you're a dude who's trying to not be a caveman. And you know that the locker room talk humor, it's not good. But when somebody makes themselves look like an idiot, you can't help but laugh. And that's not even the correct way to phrase it. But I don't know what the correct reaction to have in that situation is. And what do you do when you're trying to diagnose what is a proper reaction to something like that when you're self-diagnosing?
That's a great question, Kyle. And I love that you're being an empowered male who is willing to be honest and also willing to find an answer to a tough question. Because, you know, really, in all honesty too, like none of us want to be a self-righteous, you know, stick in the mud. Like, let's be human. We're human. And, you know, there are many sides to things. So I think one thing is, like, if that instinct is to start laughing, maybe just let that arise and be like, hey, dude, don't be an asshole. You can't say stuff like that anymore. Have you seen what happened to Harvey Weinstein? Like, this doesn't work anymore. And just like, could you say that? Do you think that would work or no?
I don't know.
Humor is a really good way to diffuse things, I think, a lot of the time, without, like, letting people off the hook.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to navigate, but I love that we're having this conversation. And I think we could do a whole podcast, maybe with, you know, a table full of people talking about, like, creative ways to respond to things you just can't say.
Yeah, sometimes, like, you do just have to, the response is just to laugh, not because what they said was funny, but because the premise is so ridiculous. In a way, that can be a way of letting people know that it's not okay. Like, it just, if the very idea that you would even dare say such, like, an inappropriate, terrible thing, you're just like, did you really say that? I can't believe you really said that, because, oh my God, who says that? Did you really say that? Hopefully that sends a message that that's not a good thing to say.
So, follow-up question to this, and this is not to hijack the entire conversation, but from filming this, it's something that's popped up for me many times. Women's empowerment is the main thing, and the flip side of that is, how do you be an empowered man, and how, as a man, can you help empower women?
This is awesome. This is the conversation we need to be having. I love it. How can you be an empowered man? Now, listen. A truly empowered person does not take power from other people. They help lift other people up. So how can you be an empowered man? You can lift up the people around you, the men and the women. Now listen, I swear to you, with every cell of my being, I don't want to take down any man. I hope to lift men up along the way. And a truly empowered woman should be able to lift men up along the way while also standing in her own power. You know, gender equality is that we are able to do that. We're all able to take our unique gifts and bring them to life in the world. So how can you be an empowered man? Well, in knowing you, I think you totally empower women around you. In walking this journey with you, our listening audience doesn't know, but Kyle has sat through now probably 50 recordings of the Women's Empowerment Initiative, so we could practically make him an honorary woman at this point. I don't think he wants to be one, though. He's a great guy. We want him to stay a guy, but, you know. No, so, and I have to say, like, I'm just going to reflect back qualities of you that are empowering for other women. Number one, I find you to be incredibly respectful. To me, like, you know, Kyle and I, he's always the person who puts the mic on. He adjusts it. Sometimes he has to tuck stuff in the back of your shirt or your pants to get the mic right and not showing up on camera. Sometimes the mic goes, like, you know, right in your cleavage. And I have never once felt like Kyle was being a creeper. Like, never once. In fact, the opposite. And he does all sorts of things that are examples of how to be respectful. He'll say, is it okay if I pin this on your shirt? This is what I'm going to do. Like, he tells me what he's going to do. Is it okay if I do this? Would you like to do that? He's asking permission. And I think that in relationships, this is how we can feel safe. And that could be applied to so many different things. If you ask permission, then you're creating the conversation about what's okay and what's not okay. And I have a ton of respect for a man who's going to say, does this make you feel uncomfortable? Like, you know, would you feel comfortable going out for dinner just with me, because I know everybody else is busy? Kyle's never said that, but I mean, if he did, I think that would be a nice way to make the invitation. Would you feel comfortable? And so just asking the question, asking gives that permissiveness where you're open to having the conversation, and then people can state what their needs are rather than doing something that feels inappropriate and then having to have a response. So that would be, I think, the first thing. Another thing is that I feel like you really listen. And I feel like an empowered man is capable of listening and appreciating that there might be a divergent view present, but being willing to listen to that. At the same time, I think an empowered man is able to share their opinion in a way that is not like, I'm the king of the castle, this is what I say, and that's the only thing that we say. So to be able to listen to what someone else says, to also be able to stand in your own truth and speak what you have to say with honesty and connection. And so to be able to listen and also share your point. I don't want men to have to back down from being, you know, emasculated men. I think I have to tell you the truth. Like, as a woman, I like a tough guy. And I like for a man to see the potential in me that I can be a whole spectrum of a person too. So being willing to hold space for a woman to be able to be whatever she wants to be, like not expecting that she's going to be, you know, having 2.5 babies and, you know, stirring a pot of soup on the stove. If she wants to do that, rock on. But also an empowered man would be willing to hold those 2.5 babies and stir the pot on the stove in order to help empower the woman. So in all of the studies that are done, they found that even if the man is the person who stays home, that the woman is still the person who does the bulk of the work in the home. So isn't that interesting? Like in terms of caring for the house, she's still the one who has to make sure the kids get the homework done. She's still the one who has to make sure there's food in the fridge. So that's just a fascinating thing. And I think that we have to be able to take account for that unpaid work that women do and learn to share that labor. So whether that's in an office, because that also plays out in the office. I think what happens with women is you can have an equal seat at the table, but you still have to be a woman. You know, you still have to be the one who, you know, brings candy and snacks for the office. And you still have to be the one who, you know, cleans up the table after the meeting's done. And you still have to be the one who goes grocery shopping. And, and to be honest, I love doing those things. I like feeding people. I don't mind cleaning up. It's just a part of what I do as a human being. But I want to see that a man has an equal stake in that too, that he's not expecting it of me. So that he, you know, that we're, and that should be in all relationships, that we're willing to be equals. Like to truly be equals, we all have to be equals. I don't want a higher stance at the table. I want an equal stance. So I think that, and also like really like looking for ways to lift women up. It's not just women who lift each other up. It's also men who have to lift women up and give them a chance to have an equal seat at the table. Carrie Jordan, when she gives her segments in the Women's Empowerment Initiative, she talks about how in meetings she has heard men say, I would love to hire her, but she's about at the age where she wants to have children. She just got married. I don't know. You know, we can't have somebody who's not going to be able to be there. And, you know, Carrie's like, Are you kidding me? Like, we can't have this conversation.
That's like, it's 2017.
Yeah.
Just, wow.
Yes. So, exactly. Those are the things where I think it takes a man to say, you know, that's not a conversation we're having anymore.
Like, is she the most qualified candidate? To a man who just got married. So you would never say that to a, yeah.
Great point. That's a good qualifier of empowerment. Things that you wouldn't say to a man, you know, don't say to a woman. So
the thing that I would say to, like, any man, I guess, who wants to know, like, what can they do to help empower women? Like, again, it sounds like such a low bar, but I would say, like, just remember that we're people, because the thing that's always, like, the kick in the gut to me, like, the most shocking thing and the most disempowering thing is when I have this reminder that someone sees me as less than a person because of my sex or because of my gender. And because I see myself as a person, you know, like I think before, at least for me personally, before I identify with my gender, I identify with just being a human being. And when there's a reminder that someone sees me as somehow less than a human being, it's just, it really hurts. So instead of, I guess, seeing women as women, something you put on a pedestal or something you have to treat a certain way, or like, to quote Princess Jasmine, a prize to be won, you know, anything like that. Like, just remember that we're people and we're the same as you because you're people too. And if we just all remembered that we're people, then I think that that would be a huge step in the right direction.
What do you think it means to be an empowered man, Kyle?
I think in terms of just being a good human, I think listening is number one. And I think it's very easy for folks to, me, my way, me, listen to me, I have words, me, not you, me. And I think taking a step back to listen to what someone has to say and asking questions, I think a lot of times can be more important than making a statement. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a great inquiry. I really, I want to continue thinking about this and supporting the conversation, because it's really one that we need to have. It's funny, in this conversation, I'm thinking about two men, and I have to tell you the truth. They're men that I think are both really empowered men. I think they were just in a moment, and it didn't work out that way. But I was at a business lunch with two men, one who is a big donor and one who is the director of a large organization that I work with, and my work with the military. And they're both men who help me out like crazy all the time. And sitting at that lunch, if I would have just been alone with them at lunch, we would have had a very connected conversation. But all of the sudden, when I was the only woman at the table, they kept talking over me again and again and again. And after it happened like the fifth time, I said, do you guys realize that you've talked over me every single time I've tried to say something? Now, listen, like, really, I love to listen. Like, it's one of my favorite things to do. And at the same time, I think we have to have that moment where we honor our voice. I also think that happens not just in situations where it's men and women, but where there's people who are inferior to us. I know that that oftentimes women who perhaps stay at home, who don't have a career, I've noticed at dinner parties that oftentimes people will talk to people who have the career, who have the big thing going in life, and the women who don't, who perhaps are at home, oftentimes people will just disregard them as like, that's not interesting. And I think to really treat all things as equal, and to treat, if a woman is the person who is taking care of the kids and staying home, to really be sincerely curious about that. You know, curious of that experience and willing to be present for it.
And just to clarify too, like, you of course don't mean people who are actually inferior to us, but for people who we might have a bias against.
Oh, or totally. Unconscious. I'm sorry if it came out that way.
I know that's exactly what you meant, yeah. But I just wanted to make sure our listeners knew that that's
what you meant as well. I was that person. I mean, I stayed home with my son, and I think that that's one of the, it's a super important thing for anyone to do, a man or a woman. So, but what I meant was people who might think they're superior. And that could be because of a title, that could be of something, and they look at somebody as, oh, they're more boring, or they're not interesting, or they're, you know.
It was always interesting to me when, and I may have told a story on the podcast before, but I used to work at a yoga clothing store, and I was also a yoga teacher at the time, and it was always, I mean, I still am a yoga teacher, but at that time too, and it was always interesting to me to see how people would treat me when they thought I was just the person selling them their yoga pants versus when I was their yoga teacher. And it was often very, very different. And it's something that, I don't know, I've always tried to keep that in mind when making judgments or assumptions about people, because I remember how much it hurt and how infuriating it was when people made those assumptions about me, that just because I was working in a retail store that I wasn't smart or educated, or I didn't know anything about yoga or fitness or anything like that, when just next door teaching the yoga class, all of a sudden everybody wanted to listen to what I had to say. So, you know, everybody has something to offer.
I love those that when somebody dresses up like a homeless person and they go somewhere and you see the response, and then they come back dressed in a business suit and you see the response. It's like, can we really see everyone as an equal? So I guess that's the point of, like, to really see as an equal and not feel like there's better or worse. So, yeah, I mean, the Women's Empowerment Initiative is designed to help people live at their fullest potential. And in all honesty, if a man wants to take it, that's so cool. I hope men do want to take it. Kyle, yeah, do you think it would be useful for men?
I can say, and a lot of the men on our AV staff who have filmed content, absolutely helpful, absolutely interested. It's so applicable.
Man, think of all the brownie points you could get for being a man who tells his partner, I think I'd really like to take this Women's Empowerment Initiative so I can think of how to empower you.
So, Molly, before we finish up our conversation, I guess I should ask Kyle, do you have any more questions for Molly or any other things that you want to discuss?
I have a question for both of you who've worked on it. What do you think is the benefit of someone taking the Women's Empowerment Initiative? What do you think it's all about?
I would say that a big benefit is gaining clarity and focus. And like you said, looking at those areas of your life where maybe you feel like not as strong or not as empowered, and really figuring out a clear plan to strengthen them a bit. And every time I've sat in on a session or been in a recording, I've always left really excited about something, like knowing that there's something that I want to do, something that I'm excited about in my life. And it's just a huge benefit to be able to have not only that support and that organization of the content. So I know, okay, I don't have to do this all myself. I don't have to figure this out all myself. I have a plan. I have support. But also to just have that, and I know the word inspiration gets thrown around a lot in the yoga world and can mean almost anything, but to really leave with that fire inside, that inspiration, even about something so simple. Like after talking about finance a little bit, I was like, all right, I'm going to download this app that's going to help me. Or like I started investing immediately after we talked about that, because I realized I'm, you know, 32 years old and I haven't invested yet. And maybe I'm able to not do a lot, but maybe I can do a little bit and that would benefit my future. And then on the other hand, to look more at my relationship with spirituality. And it's such an interesting thing that those things that we normally wouldn't pair together or that would seem like opposites, like looking at my personal finances, looking at my, like how I relate to the concept of spirituality and getting really excited about both of them. Where if even like, I don't know, a couple months ago, someone had said, hey, Kat, you're going to get really excited about thinking about the concept of spirituality and also like tracking your spending, I would not have believed them.
That's awesome. Thanks, Kat. What about you, Kyle?
I think it's motivational, but I think it's a good tool for channeling the motivation that arises. I feel in my own life that I'm often prone to, and this is a Kapha imbalance, periods of inertia and stuckness. The content that I've been around for during this Women's Empowerment Initiative, it feels like it is a good structuring mechanism for one, getting you, as Kat mentioned, excited, and two, giving you direction for what to do with this excitement, because you could have all the energy and excitement in the world, which I have gone through periods of having that, but if you don't have the guidance or the tools to do anything with it, then you're still stuck. And I think this is a good channeling and focusing tool.
Yes, get unstuck, have some fun, find your path, your dharma, do it with joy and love, and lift everybody up around you on the way.
Thank you, Molly, so much for sharing this information with us and for having this great conversation, which I know I'm going to be thinking about for quite a while. Yeah, before we go out, anything else that you want to say to our listeners and bring up?
I just want to thank you for showing up to listen. You know, I think that our lives are so busy, and the fact that you are taking the time to think about women's empowerment, to think about your own path and well-being, is such a powerful thing. I just want to honor that and offer this to you in whatever way is resonant. So thank you for being someone who cares.
And if you guys have any questions or topic ideas, anything that you want to hear us discuss in the future on Yoga Talk, you can send those to yogatalk@yogainternational.com. Please do not send us spam ads, though, because we get those too. But we love your ideas, just not the spam. Not that any of you listeners send those, just, you know, robots and such. But no, we love to hear from you. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Molly. Thank you, Kyle, for everything that you brought.
For all the listeners, I also want to tell you, these two are total rock stars. As great as they sound on this podcast, they're even cooler in person. I hope you get to meet them someday.
No, thank you. And our intro and outro were by Austin Joy.